listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
Take your Bibles, and we're going to turn to a very, very familiar passage of Scripture. And actually, this Scripture is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. This passage of Scripture is likened to the theme Scripture for the body of Christ over the last several years. Through the COVID season, I have heard this Scripture, I have preached on this Scripture, I've read this Scripture, I've tried to apply this Scripture, and so have you. It's a very, very significant portion of God's Word. Well, what I want to do with this Scripture this morning, I want to make application of this Scripture to relationships. We are a people. Cornerstone Church is a church that values relationships, vertical relationships and horizontal relationships. And I want to take the time this morning to make a real application to our journey in life with people. How many know what fellowship is? It's two fellas in a ship. How many know God has not called us to fly single? He has called us into a body. Scripture even talks about being baptized into the body, which speaks of the fact that we have been called to be in relationship with people. And that can be a little difficult because we love being in relationship with Jesus. But it's a little different game to be involved in relationship with people. I think I've shared this with you before, but somebody once said, pastoring would be a wonderful job if it weren't for the people. And that has not been my experience. I should never have said that. I take that off the board because I love this church. I love this people. And the fact is we are called to be in relationship, in godly relationship with each other. So let me read the Bible verse, all right? I haven't got to that yet. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, the New King James Version puts it this way. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Can you seal up for a moment and say amen? So what has he given us? But of power, a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. We human beings were born with an innate need to be loved. That's deep within us. Can I illustrate that by saying newborn babies in intensive care might exemplify that concept? How? Well, volunteers come. They come on scheduled intervals to hold these tiny preemies in their cupped hands. And I've been, and I've seen these little babies. You can put them in your hand. They sing over them. They speak tender words to these little babies. And all the vital signs on their hospital monitors show marked improvement in these preemies. And after these babies have been touched, after they've been held, treasured, and loved, something amazing happens in their life. Although they are virtually unable to know what is happening to them, love still comes through their hearts and makes a tangible difference in these lives. But not only has God created us with a need for love, He's also created us with a capacity for love. And it's a supernatural, God-given ability to love others. Now, we, as Christians, just to remind you, when we receive Jesus into our life, something supernatural happened to us. We were elevated from loving on a human level to loving as God loves. Because when we invite Jesus into our life, may I say it this way, we invite God into our life. Another good place to say amen. And when we invite God into our life, the Bible says that God is love. His love looks like this. It's an agape love. It's a type of love that can love without being loved back. So when we read in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Come on, church, you got to understand the world at that point in time was not a very loving situation. And God loved the world even though the world did not love him. And because he loves, he gave his son, Jesus. And this Jesus takes up residence within our life. And so, therefore, we have the capacity to love just as God loves. That's resident in every one of your lives as a believer. And I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. Even inside of those relationships that you are swimming in, that have been the most difficult, because if everybody was perfect like you, this would be a very easy journey. But because we're all flawed people, how many know? We do have some wrinkles to work through in life. Even where the risk and the pain they cause us can feel like more than we can handle. How many have ever come to a place where you felt like you were at your wit's end with people? In relationships. Now, God has given you a spirit. He has not given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you a spirit of love, not fear. So even in your relationships, you can apply this love standard. You can keep moving toward people and not worry that it will cost you more than what God's capable of supplying in your life. And that's good stuff to know. There is nothing happening relationally in your life that love cannot overcome and conquer. Let's just take a moment there. Nothing in your relationships that is happening right now in your life that love cannot overcome and conquer. That is through the love that God has given you. So let's talk about some scenarios. I like to make this practical. I want to get into some real life type scenarios that you and I face. Maybe you've been facing them. Maybe you're about to face them. Maybe you're right in the middle of them right now. Here's the first scenario I want to put forth before you. But what if they, people, disappoint me? Well, welcome to the club. We get disappointed all the time with people. You might be saying, I'm afraid I couldn't deal with that. Remember, God has given you a spirit of love and not fear. Keep loving that person in spite of what they are doing to discourage you. In spite of their failings, which they can't seem to understand, or in their weaknesses, they can't seem to avoid. Can I just say it this way? Just love them. Just love them. And you can do it. You can do it by faith. Take that next step of faith in your life and see what God can do by applying love through faith. Of course, people disappoint us. So let's move on, shall we? But here's another scenario. But what if they wound me? What if they wound me? Again, you're probably saying, I'm afraid my heart couldn't take that. Now, I'm not suggesting that you succumb to abuse and matters like that. That's not what I'm talking about. See, we are overridden in circumstances, and sometimes we paint a picture for ourselves that somebody's going to wound me if I don't. Do the unthinkable. So, God has, let me remind you, God has given us a spirit of love and not fear. Your love for these people, in fact, could be the one thing that God's going to use to be the most powerful thing to shift their lives. It could be what God uses to change their mind and their responses and turn this whole situation around. Your job and my job is simply to keep on loving them through it. And not get hung up on the idea, well, what if they wound me? You can do this, and you can do it by faith. Let me give you another scenario that's common to our journey, and that is, what if people leave me or betray me? I mean, we get a little worked up about that. That can bother us. And you might be thinking, I'm afraid that that would kill me for a fact. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you a spirit of love. If they do leave, If they do betray you, if they do walk out of your life, God can be trusted to love you through that circumstance. And you will come to know his love in a way you've never known it before. You can do this, and you do it by faith, trusting Jesus each step of the way. Even if the worst appears ready to happen, even if the worst has happened, let the love of Jesus rise up in you, because God has already given it to you when you were born again. He's planted his love, his agape love, within your being. Allow it to overcome what's been said to you, or what's been done to you, and whatever's happened in your life, to turn these relationships into such that have been so complicated and unpredictable minefields for you. So right here, in your conflict, in your drama, in your stress, in your awkwardness, today, wherever you may be fearing the fallout of relational failure, realize this very moment that the fix for sure is right there within you, God's love resident. The love that he has given you. So only love will get you going forward. So let me give you three little things that we shouldn't be looking for. One, keeping score won't do that. Number two, nagging demands won't achieve that. Number three, waiting for the other person to figure things out first won't do it. Only God-enabled love will free us to keep investing in the relationships that he has given us. And by the way, there are different levels of relationships. How many are aware of that? So examine your relationships, those inner circle relationships you have. There are broader relationships and widespread relationships. Sometimes we allow people into our space that should not be at that level of relationships, and that creates all kind of havoc in our life. How many times that me as a father have had to step into our children's relationships, that's not of God. Even our grandchildren, that you got to watch it. That relationship's not of God. How many know the enemy wants to come in and circumvent our lives? So we need to learn how to play the game according to God's rules, and then to preserve these relationships that God has given us. And we do that by applying the love standard that God gives and equips us with, because he puts that love within us, the love of Jesus that is resident in our life. So by dispensing love the way that God wants us to do so, we give each person the love that they truly need, whether they know it or whether they need it or not. Now, I'm going to wrap up here this morning, but working through troubled relationships is not easy. You're going to have to think about, let the Holy Spirit begin to unveil to you what might be a relationship that is of significance that you need to work through. So let me flip the tables, if I can, for a moment, and look at this from another perspective, if you'll permit, just to get you thinking down a different path. First of all, what are some ways that you've experienced love driving out fear in your own heart? And I want you to remember the moment when you've put love in its place and fear drove out. Because once you recognize that moment is a moment of divine intervention, that's your goal. That's what you can go back to. You can remember that moment. And it'll give you the confidence to get to the next step. So don't overlook the fact that God's already given you a victory.
That's good.
And another perspective, maybe when it's difficult to love, what could make the difference between quitting and applying courage in your life? And again, look back to when you've had a victory in your life and it's given you courage to take the next step. Let that be a factor in your moving forward with God. I want you to bow your heads with me. Everyone, please bow your heads. I'm going to pray. Perhaps you can make this prayer your prayer this morning. As we pray together and look to the Lord, let's just thank Him for the love that He has shown and continues to give us in Christ. Thank You, Jesus, for the people that You've placed in our lives. Those You've equipped us to love with fervency and patience like Yours. So help us this morning, Lord, to desire the good of people above our own. And may Your Spirit, the Spirit of love that You've given each of us to drive out all the fear of loving, I pray in the name of Jesus that this ultimate love would propel us forward. We pray this in the name of Jesus today. Scripture says, "And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Again, Jesus didn't say it's how many people you get saved. And I'm not taking anything away from our evangelistic efforts. But the qualifying mark seems to be our ability to dispense love. Today, Jesus wants to rule in our life. We started this service acknowledging Jesus is the King of our life. Can I break that down to you before we leave? Jesus is our Savior. That simply means that He's redeemed our life. You've settled the issue. If you were to die right now, you would go to heaven. That's a good thing. because the alternate is not a good place. Jesus, secondly, is our Lord. That comes to that brings us to the place where we acknowledge his lordship over all that we touch on this planet. He's Lord over our families. He's Lord over our possessions. By the way, whatever you own as a believer isn't really yours. Are you tracking with me? It's really his, and he's asked you to steward it. That's why I like to keep my car clean, because it's his car, and I like to keep it clean. That's why I like to take care of my yard, because it's not my yard, it's his yard. I'm a steward of what he's given me. You got the picture. That's called lordship. And then he's the king of our life. And this is where the church goes sideways. Because they put the kingship of Jesus to another dimension. And we've made up songs that reinforce the idea. And we say he's our soon coming king. He will be king when he comes again. That's not true, church. He's king today. And he will be king in the future. And what does kingship mean? Kingship means he rules. Come on, say rules. He rules over our will. You haven't made him king until he rules over your will. And that's a dimension that the body of Christ has yet to learn. Jack and I had a discussion here before the service. We're talking about all the conditions that we're seeing around us. Evil, conspiracies, matters of that nature. Jesus prayed a prayer, and it goes like this: Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many remember that prayer? I think we'll hear it tonight. Thy will be done. That is speaking of kingdom. That is speaking of Jesus being king over our will. How many know we might have a little ways to go when it comes to our eschatology? That's a 50-cent word with regards to your end time beliefs. Jesus has my permission to come today. But what if he's waiting for the believers to live out the fact that he is their king? Thy kingdom come. Jesus will be done on this earth. By the way, how's it going to be done? It's going to be done through the people of God. His chosen family called the church. And the church needs to rise up to being a reflection of the King of Kings. So he is our Savior. He is our Lord. Some of you are learning to apply his lordship to your life. And he is our King. That is still a learning curve as well. But it all starts by our understanding that he takes up residency in our life, and his love, his agape love, is resident there, and so that we can love God with all of our hearts, and we can love on one another, so that those outside these four walls, will know that we are Christians by the way we treat each other, by the way we apply love to each other. Stand to your feet with me, and let's just lift our hands to the Lord right now. And just ask Him to download a baptism of love this morning into our life. We need a good dose of the love of Jesus here in this place. Because He has not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us a spirit of love. And I want to send you out of this place today, equipped in the Spirit, anointed by God to be a demonstration of love to wherever He leads you this morning. So lift your hands as worship together. And in the worship moment, I want you just to receive His love. When you receive His love, you're really receiving Jesus into your heart. And let it permeate your being. In His presence, church. Just drink in His presence.
You're listening to the Cornerstone Church weekly podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.